Jack, we're going to fire it up.
Jack, you want to fire it up?
Fire it up!
Doan. James Doan.
Where is 006.9 now?
He's on a mission, sir.
Do you expect me to talk?
An excellent plan, Mr. Doan. Look out, James!
Let me try and enlarge your vocabulary.
Oh, hey, my drink!
The biggest counterfeiter of actual money is the United States government.
Choose your next witticism carefully.
I want to be covered in drugs.
One day we must invent a faster working venom.
Yeah!
They cannot counterfeit gold.
The only gold I know about is the kind you wear.
Every law is backed by bullets.
Bullets do not kill. It is the finger that pulls the trigger.
Exactly.
Doom, I like that.
James!
Show.
Love the intro. Love the intro.
It's
and we got the whole crowd here today.
All here.
October, what is this, 21st?
21st.
2008. 008. 008, right? This is show number, well over 200 now. What are we? No, 100, I don't know. We
have 1 million.
1 million, yeah.
Show number.
So it's the Jack Road Show. Hi, Jack.
Jack Road. Yeah, man. Good to be here, Jimmy. Is
yeah, if you count all the shows Jack's done during the Jimmy Doan Show.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, we're up to 400 or 500.
That's right.
No, it's exactly 420.
And then
the Jack Road Show.
Counselor Curtis.
Hey.
We do have, of course, the Supreme Court is in session. We might even have some legal news tonight.
We got legal news. I had a run in. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. And our mix meister.
Over here, mix.
Engineer Eric. And producer and all-around sound effects person, and the only reason we get this thing on that even makes any sense at all.
And we got Jimmy Doan.
Oh, and that's right. I forgot. I'm here too. Let me tell you, this
easy
show.
To forget.
It's too bad we can't get together a little more often, because I'm sitting here literally with 30 pages of stuff, and this is like...
It just piles up so
fast.
This is
from today. No,
right.
This is like from since the last show.
That's
and
just Joe Biden's speech.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
boy, I'll tell
you. We got that one later, too.
No, Joe, that's right. Jumble Joe, whatever.
No longer Joe the plumber.
No.
Now it's just Joe the idiot.
Well, you know, there's good news and bad news, I guess, about the 24-hour news cycle.
It's Jostras Damas. What? He's telling the future. Remember in his speech today.
Oh, Jostras Damas.
Jostras Damas.
Yeah.
He was.
Who was it? Somebody really liked your. What was it? Somebody wrote us an email and said they really liked your. Take on, what was the name you had for Obama?
Mulatto Obama?
Yeah, Mulatto Obama, right.
Mulatto Obama.
Mulatto Obama, that's right.
Obama.
That's right.
That's his African name.
I guess it was
name.
EJ or something. And counselor to be Bart wrote in. He had some things to say about that.
Oh, he had a great lanyard story.
Yeah, he had a great lanyard story.
Or lanyard-related story.
Lanyard-related story.
I will put a link to it.
I just saw a thing of girls in there.
Damn, God, how long was it? That was about 3 minutes. About 3 minutes before we started. Before Jack started talking about
links. It's Counselor Bart's letter about the lanyard.
Well, he had the same.
Always ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Jimmy Doan.
I forgot what it was. And then we also got... which I want. I guess I have to apologize. I mean, I haven't read the whole thing yet, but we got reamed by the hanger dogs. Reamed.
Yeah.
I mean, on the and I was trying to listen to it because I don't think I had much to say on this. I think it was mostly somebody else.
Nope.
That sounded like me.
No.
But about the Posse Comitatus or whatever it was.
Yeah.
What?
Leave it to our military guys up in Colorado to correct us. To correct us, we talked about Posse Comitatus. No, Jack.
I wasn't here.
Nothing pornographic there.
Nothing.
Those words. But we talked about it last time. We talked about how everything had changed now. Brave new world, because some military forces have been put under NORTHCOM command. And those guys, man, when they get... Whoa, man, you got it. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, man. Now, actually, we'd rather have it be those guys than who it used to be.
So hanger dogs put us in the place?
Yeah, totally.
They basically told us that the president has had the
no
authority
clue
to do
what
this
we're talking
for a
about.
Long time.
Way off in left field. So anyway, what you have to do is go back. The people listening to this show here have to go back to the last show and erase the 10 minutes or so that we talked about it.
And then go over to the Hangar Dogs
yeah,
and listen to their segment on the Posse Comitatus.
Yeah. I'm sure they will have one.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were supposed to do research. Before we started talking about the Posse Comitatus, apparently,
our source was a little weak.
Oh, was
or
off.
Something.
Well, you had at least you had a source. I mean, you blame it on the source.
Yeah, that's true.
It was the source.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, we rarely ever get anything that's not perfect.
Well, and rarely do people prove it.
Right.
So.
Well, of course, I say before we get, but I mean, we got it was like a note from those guys.
It was a reprimand.
And it was a reprimand. And it was funny because I was reading it and I didn't understand it. Really? Did I? Was
all right. Well, man. We'll do better next time.
I doubt it. and you certainly make no claim to that. Well, of course, the big news, obviously, is still the bailout, right?
Yeah, I'd say.
It's not the news in the media, but
yeah. Right? No, let me just. So I was.
Well, we did sort of call the bottom on the Wall Street so far.
Yeah, so far. Yeah, we're okay.
Well, let me tell you. I mean,
I'm still. By the way, I'm still in the. In the money on my Hillary thing, so I'm not.
I miss something this week?
I have not conceded.
Yeah, something's going to happen. The stars are going to align or something. Yeah.
This is the big thing. Of course, is of all the topics that I have here have to do almost all of them have to do with the bailout. With the one thing I did want our counselor here to talk a little bit about the. Bush signs into law creating a copyright czar.
No,
can you imagine another
copyright
czar? Cabinet
czar.
Czar.
Just
cabinet level. Cabinet
with
level.
A CZ.
Well, I knew that we had talked about this a long time ago.
No, this was new. This was fairly new. And then we got some more. We got a couple little anecdotes about people being cracked, jackbooted thugs coming in and taking care, wiping out little old ladies.
Jimmy, it sounds like you're doing a list or something.
No.
Like the old days.
Yeah, like the old days. That's right. So that's the end of that list.
It was a flashback.
And
don't worry.
Obama about to win in the landslide is.
Oh yeah, that's right. Now I don't know if we're going to have a show before then. Should we?
We will.
Should we make sure we have a show pre-election night to
we're gonna have
what our predictions for what's going
to
happen?
I think we might have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy, of course, is getting ready to leave like tomorrow or the next day for another trip, which that was Counselor Bart. See, he says, why do you still do this sort of thing with going driving with Grandma, Ms. Jimmy, and my sister, too?
What information do they have? What blackmail?
What blackmail do they have? Of course, you can't say.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole that is the key. So Jimmy is going to be tranked up totally on this trip. And
tranked. All the kids are doing it these days.
That's it. No, I'm on total tranquilizers and
he's bringing his own blow gun.
That's it. Blow. Says you got that right.
That's it. So are we going to talk about this Joe thing? Can we get into that?
Go ahead.
We got a list. I was interested in your take. I mean,
I didn't have a take on it.
Like I said, October 21st, so we're talking about Joe Biden's speech today where he warned, and we'll have a link to this. He warned that within the first 6 months of an Obama presidency, that the world was going to test us.
Right.
And, hinting and certainly implying that there were going to be terrorist attacks.
They're not going to test us like flooding us with jelly donuts or anything. It's something a little more serious than
they're going to. He's saying, I mean, the way I interpret it.
Why would he say that? That's a bonehead thing to say.
It's funny you should mention that because of, interestingly enough,
bonehead Biden.
People are all over Sarah Palin, of course. She was, of course, stunning on Saturday Night Live. Can you imagine? They went from like 5 or 7 million or 10 million to 14 million on last Saturday Night show because everybody wanted to watch the thing. And they said she came off pretty well.
She did.
Most of the thing is the mainstream media, of course, has been all over the Republicans and the conservatives and everything, downing them for all their crazy things that they do. And they totally diss Sarah Palin for a lot of reasons. But this is brand new. If they've gotten they're putting Joe Biden in the same category as Dan Quayle. I mean, with the spelling potato. And, the whole deal. I mean, practically his stumblings that he's done are of
you think
practically
about it,
demented
you wouldn't
person.
Say- You wouldn't say if Obama gets elected, we're going to get tested. That's like saying, well, if John McCain gets elected, we're not going to get tested.
That is exactly the way it's.
And if Obama gets elected, your biggest fear might come to fruition.
That's right.
But don't worry. Sure. Right. But trust us. Wasn't that the end of it? It was trust. Your biggest fear. Don't give in to your biggest fear. Because trust us, we'll figure it out or something like that.
Well, and then he continued, Jostras Damas, continued to say that the Obama reaction would initially be interpreted by the American people as the wrong thing to do. But trust him, it is the right thing to do. That is exactly what he said. Our initial response is not going to be received well, but trust us, it's the right thing to do in the long run.
That's bad.
Okay, so it's not what the question is.
So I'm seeing Obama.
Don't cross the streams. Okay.
That's good.
Why?
Don't cross the streams.
It's very bad.
Very bad. That's right.
So when Obama runs the white flag up, when the nukes come pouring in, and Obama runs the that's right. So what does he mean? I'm hoping that that was part one of the speech, and that he's going to continue this here.
Sure.
Well, they took him off. They basically took him off the campaign for a while.
Oh, yeah, the big hook came.
Yeah, they
from
they did. They hooked him. Yeah, they see him.
Stage left.
That's right.
Yeah, he got a little. Is this in the speech?
This is like when Reagan took
him off
Stockman to the woodshed or something. They said, "Whoa, no!" And of course, Sarah Palin came out against. On the birth control thing, or was it something just totally the opposite from McCain's stance, and everybody's all hooting and hollering about that, whatever.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah.
Was this just today?
So when Biden's speaking, though, they got the people from the awards ceremonies, from the Oscars, they're playing the music as soon as he starts to talk, and they just go right into the music.
Yeah, that's it. Something along those lines.
Pomp and circumstance, is that what you're saying?
No, it's just, but anyways, it is interesting. Apparently, he's had quite a few of the little bumbles. And they've picked it up as kind of a funny thing. Not a whole lot, but I've heard three or four.
Not mainstream.
I think
here on the Jimmy Dolan show.
No, I haven't messed with them, but I think that Neil Bortz and Rush or somebody, I've heard of a couple of them. And actually, I think I've seen him on maybe Fox.
Well, you just got a letter from him.
That from Joe Biden.
Right.
Now that, you talk about a mistake, and he spent 8.5 cents on it too, I noticed.
8.5 cents.
But he wanted me, what was it, I need to help him make a bulletproof majority in the Senate or something?
Right.
Veto-proof.
Filibuster-proof.
Filibuster-proof.
Let's read it. And
sent me a letter.
Yeah, and it's a, fellow Democrat.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how.
Well, here it is. We had that one instance here locally where you had to change your party to vote for the guy who was going to go in as a Democrat in name only, but he was really a Republican.
Oh, right,
whatever.
Right. That was a couple years ago.
Right. So we, caller action.
That should.
Jimmy Dolan show.
Jimmy Dolan.
If you place one of our signs in your front yard,
wait, listen.
$795 home security system in your home for free.
Unbelievable.
And if you act now, we'll include two keychain remotes, a $99 value with your system.
All right, so listen. So Joe Biden says, let me put it simply. If we can win 9 of these races, we get to the filibuster-proof 60 seats.
It might
well,
have to.
I'll tell you.
And it says right here, it says, we have only 28 days left. To defeat McCain, Palin, and give Barack Obama and Joe Biden a filibuster-proof Senate majority. That's the tagline on this. On Dear Mr. Doan,
the RNC,
these are no ordinary times. This is no ordinary election.
The RNC should, excuse me.
No, it's just interesting. How did they get my name? It was a couple of years ago that I had to register for 30 days, literally only for 30 days. I had to register.
And they're sending it to everybody.
And then
Joe's got your number.
It doesn't matter who you are. You're getting one,
Jimmy. You're on the radar.
Well, he spent 8.5 cents on it too.
8.5 cents.
How do they do that?
That's the thing I didn't quite understand is how did he get away? It's not a postcard. This is like a whole envelope with stuff in it.
Right.
8.5 cents must be some government super special rate. Yeah, government rate.
It says right here, help lead the last minute charge for a Democratic Senate majority.
Okay, yeah, well, I'm in. He convinced me.
I'm all in.
Say no more.
That was even more than vote yes on one.
It says right here, the return address is committed to electing a filibuster-proof majority. P.O. Box 1849, Merrifield, Virginia.
I think we're going to drive through there when we're on our way with...
Oh, we're driving through there, all right.
We're driving through.
Cue the music. The
music.
Right. The noise.
That's right.
Driving on through.
We made it. Yeah. We're back.
All right, back at Jimmy Don Show.
All right. So, I'll tell you. You got Obama in there.
Basically, now you understand that they've said that the deal is sealed. It's all over with the actual county because Colin Powell endorsed.
Right.
Certainly not a brace
so,
or anything
so did
like that.
London's somebody or other and somebody else besides. Oh, John Glenn just endorsed him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, then, of course, Bernanke did because he wants to keep his job.
Right.
That's exciting. So anyway, they basically said it's all over but the question is kind of a margin. Is he going to win? So we're figuring here at the Jimmy Don Show that he's going to be president, right?
Yeah, man.
Obama. Okay, he's going to be president.
For Hillary, your vote.
Well, that's right. I'm still Hillary is not counted out. I'm telling you, my money's still on the whole deal.
I'm going to have to. It is amazing though. Like in the neighborhoods that I drive through, you see like a lot of McCain Palins and you see a lot of Obamas. I mean, there's like
it's pretty
in our neighborhood. It's about 50-50.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Not in this neighborhood. This neighborhood where Jimmy lives actually. Right. Jimmy's of course the poor person on the street.
Right.
But there's rich people that live on this street.
Yeah.
And
they're all for Obama, huh?
Pretty much.
Man, that's just amazing to me.
There are two people on this street that are not, and everybody else is Obama, and they want also the guy that's running for the House, the National House, whatever it is, against Cliff Stearns, he's a socialist, an avowed socialist, and they've got his sign up there too. I mean,
and it's just amazing to me. I mean, our mutant accountant over at our place, he's an accountant and he's voting for Obama, and I can't. And he goes, well, because he's for smaller government. I'm going, where did you hear that?
Well, you did see that thing. I don't know if we recorded it or played it or whatever it was, but you did see where the fellows from it was going all over the internet for a while where the news reporters went out from one of these stations,
right,
and they interviewed the man on the street and they said who are you for? And, oh, I'm for Obama. Oh, and they asked him, and what they did is they asked him, well, what do you like? Do you like about Obama the best? And they used McCain's platform.
Yeah.
They said, do you like the fact that he's going to stick it out in Iran,
right,
or do you like the fact better that he's
Iran.
In Iraq, that he's going to stick it out in Iraq no matter what, or do you like better that he's pro-life?
Right.
And I think pro-life. That's why I'm voting for him. I'm voting for pro-life. And then they asked him. They said, well, do you have any problem with him putting a woman on, as vice president? Sarah Palin as vice president. No, I think that's just fine. no problem at all. And they went through and asked three or four people. There's all on tape.
It was just like a Jay Leno street walk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like exactly.
That's what I don't understand. I mean, and the only thing I know is going to be smaller after Obama gets elected is my paycheck. I mean, it's going to be a significant drop.
And we're going to talk a little about this because this has to do some with the bailout as well. And that is the question that people fail to ask about. There are two things that people fail to talk about. One is, what is capitalism? They're talking about the rebuilding of capital and so forth. But the other thing is, where's all this money coming from?
Right.
I mean, they're talking about
what needs to be talked about.
That is exactly. They talk about let me put it this way. Several months ago, when the annual deficit was approaching $350 or $400 billion, which, of course, it has for years and years and years, except for it was balanced for a couple of years right at the end of the Clinton administration and right before 9/11.
Mm-hmm. And that was sort of more or less due to the Reaganomics.
Well, no, it was Republicans that did it.
Okay.
Republicans did it because they came in 94, 95, and then they passed the welfare thing, which got a whole lot of people off of welfare. That was in 96. Clinton held his nose and signed that thing. And then that it took a little while, and the budget was actually balanced for a year or two, right as Bush got elected. So I mean, this is because in the United States, in a anywhere from a $9 to $13 trillion economy, it takes a year, 2 years, or something for any of this stuff to filter through. You can't just make a change and have it through. When Reagan had passed his tax cuts in 1980, we went into a depression until 1982, and they didn't actually start to take effect. And this is why he had the big landslide in 84. The tax cuts didn't actually start to affect the economy until 83.
It's trickle down, not like gush down.
Right. Well, of course, that's exactly right. And people, I always want to ask people, you don't like trickle-down economics, what's the alternative? I mean, the only other alternative is to grab it from the top and hand it to the bottom, and that's commie. I mean, that's socialism. That's when you don't wait for anybody. You don't wait for the rich people to spend the money. You just grab it and hand it to the poor people. That's the antithesis of trickle-down.
Grabbing, quite a chunk of mine.
That's what they want to do. So they talk about
think about Warren Buffett. How much are they grabbing of his?
Well, Warren, I'm a little nervous about Warren because he's an Obama supporter too, I think, as I recall. He's come out and he also talks about some needed government regulations. And I'm thinking, I don't know, the guy's getting old. I mean, he's worth billions of dollars. Maybe he doesn't care anymore. I mean, if you're worth $50 billion, I mean, you can say pretty much anything you want.
Well, he just gave a whole bunch to the Gates Foundation.
Well, he's giving it. He's right, giving it. Right. Yeah. But I mean, he's not switching from steak to hamburger.
No.
He's still doing okay, and he's got his Gulfstream, and
he's not eating the ground chuck.
No,
he's picking out the sirloin.
It's Kobe beef or whatever.
It's hard to account for any one individual's opinion or how they're playing this. But Jimmy, you were talking about where the money is going to come from.
That is in a nutshell. So my point was that they were screaming and hollering about this deficit being $350-400 billion, and suddenly, overnight, literally in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks or whatever, so they're talking about 750. Why? Because they're going to another 250. They had, 85 billion to AIG and 250 billion into the banks to quote recapitalize the banks. And this is the thing they keep talking. And I've got a whole bunch of stuff here. I don't know if we're going to get a chance to get to it all, but starting with the Australian Prime Minister. But a lot of the things is, let me just see if I can go through here real quick.
He's got his list.
I've got the actual articles. Okay, a bunch of the actual articles.
I don't have a list. Not me.
There is a list.
Oh, no.
But they're talking about the regulation, and the main thing they're talking about is the recapitalization of the banks. The recapitalization, because the banks have lost capital. Well, you have to ask yourself, what is capital? Capital is that stuff that's left over after subsistence. It's storage. It's stored stuff. Capital, and there's only two ways to destroy capital. You can waste it. You can make bombs and stuff and blow them up.
Well, it's extra cash.
Or it can wear out. Capital can wear out like a machine that wears out. And the other thing you can do is you can waste, if it's in the form of money, which is not actually invested yet, but it's a store of value, you can squander it. You can invest it in silly things. You can invest it in digging a hole and filling it back up again or something along those lines. But the point
is, we dug that hole good.
Yeah, no, I mean, seriously.
Man, we dug it straight down.
Do not laugh. Keynes.
And then we filled it right back up again.
I've got a quote here from either Barney Frank
or
one of those guys that is responsible for this mess in the first place that's still going to, quote, fix it, which is stunning.
Jobs, baby, jobs.
Okay. But they are talking, they're saying we are going back to Keynesianism because Keynesianism works. And Keynes was the guy who said that it would be because labor, you could create money, you could create jobs and so forth. And he actually said that what you should do is to take, this course was in England, take pound notes, which is their money, bury it in a coal mine and then have people work to dig it out, and that would be okay. That would stimulate the economy. It's stunning that anybody actually believed that. I mean, this is not even worthy of Alice in Wonderland.
You Wikipedia Keynes and look for his main theory, and what you will find is that it is akin to perpetual motion.
Right.
What he thought was that you could inject money into the market and then create wealth because of this injection and create jobs and everything. And what he failed to see was that the only way to get that money is to first take it out of the market.
Right.
And you got to pay the people who are taking it out.
Well, that's
putting it back in.
That's not all. The other thing is that the people that you take it from, if you borrow it from them, for instance, you're going to have to pay them some interest. The money, yeah, you're exactly right. In other words, that's the whole question is, where's this money coming from that we're borrowing? We're borrowing from the future. And you're going to have to pay the money back because there is no capital left over in the United States in the government. They don't have any money. They're in, we're in debt. I mean, they're in debt for $10 trillion. It's not like they can open up a safe somewhere and actually get a store of wealth out. The only thing they can do is to say, look, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Your great-grandchildren will earn that money back for you, so can we borrow the money now?
Well, you know, I mean,
I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yeah,
I mean, it just depends on, you know, to what level you break it down. That's
it's hard to
ridiculous.
Put that concept together, though, that your grandkids are paying it back. I mean, I can see the concept that if they inject a bunch of money, if they go down and print a bunch of money and they give it to a bunch of banks to recapitalize these banks, that the banks, okay, put it into circulation, and for a little while you get some economic stimulus. But it seems to me the direct effect of that would be inflation.
It is.
That is to say, in a year or two, it all of a sudden is a whole lot more expensive to buy everything.
Right. It is. Well, it costs more money. I don't know how much. Yeah, exactly. And, of course, as we've seen, I mean, again, one of the articles I pulled off here, they said that there was an injection of there was a bank takeover in the Depression era during the first part of the Roosevelt thing when he did the first, not the first 100 days, but
first New Deal?
First New Deal, right. You sent me the link on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it, and it said, you know, there was a $1.8 billion that was spent on public works or something, and they said would be the equivalent of $200 billion today. Well, that's inflation. I mean, there's no reason for that. It should be $1.8 billion today,
right.
Same as then. The only reason is that they've pumped up the money supply by 20 times or 30 times since then. And that's why it seems, that's why it, quote, costs more of these dollars. But the thing that they have some rules, I guess, or some little catchphrases. One of them, as we just talked about, of trickle down, has gotten a bad vibes because people don't ask, well, what's the alternative? And the alternative, of course, is, I don't know, thrust down, waterfall down, something. I mean, it doesn't
trickle
make
up.
Any sense.
It'll
you trickle
up out
right.
of your wallet into
yeah,
the
trickle
government.
Up, right. Like the poor people are going to have all the money and it's going to
trickle up
to the rich.
To the rich?
No, see, I'm sorry. you know, water
that's
runs uphill.
Happen.
Yeah, no.
Because I'd vote for that.
Another thing that they do is they call something called pump priming. And pump priming is, I mean, you think of an economy, pump priming, what a joke. I mean, and people understand what pumps are, and especially in the Depression era, they understood what priming a pump was. You had to, you know, go get some water from someplace, and you had to pour it into the pump in order to loosen it up and make sure that the seals were good and that the leather got flexible and everything so you could actually draw the water up. Well, of course, it begs the question, where'd you get that gallon of water that you poured in there?
You borrowed it for $750 million.
Yeah, right, $750 million. Well, the other thing is, the other thing that they're talking about is we're talking about a 6.1% unemployment rate, which is still historically low. It is nothing like what they have in Europe or anything like that. It's a little higher than maybe what they would call the
Europe's
frictional 14% unemployment.
14% or something like that.
Well, it's anywhere from 9 to 14, depending on which country you're in. But, yeah, but the point is that they're talking about creating 200,000 new jobs or 2 million new jobs or whatever. The question is, you don't create a job if there's nobody there. In other words, where's that person coming from? Well, the person's already got a job. I'm sorry. He already has or she already has a job. So you're not creating, you're moving is what you're doing, is you're moving a person from the private sector into the public sector is what you're doing when you're going to do.
But since we're paying them more, Jimmy, it helps the economy.
That's right. Because we're paying them more. And I'm sorry, where'd you get that money again that you're paying them with?
In the bottom of that hole over in Europe.
Well, that's right.
In the
coal mine. Well, you got it. The thing is.
Just where y'all buried it.
Right. Well, they. They are talking about, of course, they have admitted in Congress. They have admitted, actually, they said, well, you know, if the economy gets tough, we've already noticed, for instance, a decline in corporate tax revenues. And it's like 18% or something in the last couple of months. I mean, it's billions. And they Congressional Budget Office has already said, look, when the economy weakens like this, And corporations don't make as much money as they're supposed to. They don't obviously pay as much taxes. And in fact, they've already corporate taxes. People don't understand that what they call corporate taxes, which you should know are really personal taxes. It's just because all that's happening is the corporations collect them from us and pass them along. There is no such thing. It's an easy way for a Congress or somebody.
Double tax.
Well, it is a double tax because when it becomes a double tax is when you get a dividend from a company and then you get taxed on it because they've already been taxed on their profits. Mm-hmm. And their profits were divided into two things or three, but at least two. One was the taxes they had to pay And then some of the profit went back to the shareholders, and then some of it maybe went back into R&D or investment. But the
all
point
right,
is...
Well, it's another way of taxing us twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's another collection point anyway.
It's another collection point. But the point is that all taxes are collected from individuals. Whether you like it or not, you can call it anything you want.
Sure.
Ultimately, it comes from people.
Right.
There is the IBM building does not pay any taxes, and the Caterpillar tractor does not pay any taxes, and the shovel in your hand doesn't pay any taxes. You and only you, only the individuals pay taxes. And this is something else that Ms. Jimmy never has understood. All money is wages. And people have not really thought that through. And that is when you talk about in a business, for instance, they'll say, well, you know, 60% of what we spend is on wages and the other 40% is on the stuff that we buy. And I'm thinking, well, no, actually, that 40% is wages too. It's just for the
other guys,
right?
Not for them, right? But the point is that it's the pencils didn't get the wages, or the car that you bought didn't get the wages, or whatever it is. The people that made those things got the money. So yeah, got the money. So that's the point is that it's all individuals. It's all money is all wages. And if you here we are talking about this bailout business, and of course they're talking about America is going to bail out the bank. What the heck is that? You know, I mean, what are you talking about?
That's great.
No, America.
Let's sell them on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and they, no, I'm sitting here. Let me just see if I can find it. They were
and it worked.
Oh,
and
no, no question. Well, no.
Oh my gosh.
Here's the other thing I like.
Genius.
Can you
roll some of the L. Ron Hubbard stuff right now? Time, space, point.
Your point.
Just say that 500 times in a row and see how your brain feels.
Okay? While you eat some low protein gruel.
Oh, unbelievable.
No, well, one of the things that I did see that is there's a little bit of backlash, and there's going to be a lot more, and one of the quasi middle of the road conservative type people, David Brooks, I think his name is, who writes for the New York Times, and they count him as a conservative. He's not really, but he's way more conservative because he's middle of the road. He's considered Attila the Hun to the New York Times, so that's that he gets away with that sort of thing. But he said that we're looking for the backlash. But the thing that is another person that is very surprising in a show that was on last Friday night. And if you get a chance, you probably should see if you can YouTube it or get it off of ABC. And that's John Stossel's program on 2020.
Mm-hmm.
He had a pretty good show last time. Now, it was a little bit straw man-ish in that, but the title of it was "We Don't Need Anyone to Run the World." And we, of course, you know, we had a great hoot last time about the New York Times editorial where they were talking about having an all-nighter and figuring out how to spend $700 billion, you know, coming up Monday morning and saying, and then they put in another all-weekend or the next weekend because that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, what are we going to do now? You know, and at some point, you know.
This time for sure
it's going to work. Yeah,
let me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of one of the funniest skits, if you ever hear it, or one of the funniest essays that I ever read, but it was also on tape, and you have to listen to it sometimes on tape, and I forget who read it, but it was the Dave Barry talking about the 2000 election. And of course the 2000 election, especially in Florida, kept switching back and forth. I mean, they would, you know, they announced the winner, and then they, well, no, and then, you know, Dan Rather comes on and says, and when we announced the winner is whoever was the campaign thing, and you could take that to the bank. We're absolutely sure about that one. Then, you know, 2 hours later, well, we want to take that back, and we want to, you know, on and on. You know, they switched back and forth like six times during the night. So,
you already go to the bank? Because,
hey, Dewey defeats Truman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean,
so anyway, let me just finish this up.
Ahead.
John Stossel was talking about, we don't need anybody to run the world. And he, a couple of little quotes here. He set up this thing with the skating rink, and he tried to organize everybody on the skating rink. And of course, everybody kept falling down because when you start ordering people around, two things happen. One is you can't keep track. No person or committee can keep track of everybody. It's one of those things that's called coordinated chaos. It works fine. You go into a skating rink and you think, well, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You're going to let a whole bunch of people from 83-year-old to 2-year-olds get on there. They're going to put on sharp bladed items on their feet. and they're all going to skate around in a circle, and they have varying talents from no talent to pro talent.
No lines.
No lines, no nothing. And you, and this is going to work.
No
there's no organization. Nobody tells anybody what to do.
And they're actually going to have fun doing it.
And they're going to have fun doing it. Wait, that impossible. Where is the government board to fix this up? Now, we need a governing board. So anyway, let me tell you. So he went out and hired an Olympic skater to stand in the middle and do it, to direct it. And of course,
orange gloves, all
and it,
that.
And it, yeah, exactly, and, right. And with a bullhorn. And of course, it was a bit of a straw man thing because it was a little bit of a joke thing. But I mean, nothing. People were falling down all over the place. I mean, a crash, bang, the whole deal. I mean, obviously, it didn't work. And so they asked the kids. They said, "Well, you know, why didn't this work? Or you know, what's the problem with this? You know, wouldn't you like to have it all organized?" They said, "It's no fun that way. I mean, that's basically, you know, the fun is, you know, avoiding doing everything individually." And it works like a champ. I mean, I've been to skating rinks before, and I mean, all of us have. And I mean, it is, nobody coordinates anything. There's the music, you know, maybe you want to, but I mean, there are people literally I don't think I've ever seen anybody skate against the stream that goes backwards, but I've seen people do like
not
circles.
For long.
Huh? Yeah, not for long, right.
that's great.
But I mean, the point is that the individuals, and this is the way the market system works. It works just fine with no direction.
And you've touched on a couple of things, Jimmy. I mean, you said it's fun that way, which is very important because people have forgot about and neglected that essential human right, which is your pursuit of happiness.
Right.
And if you avail yourself of that, then individuality shines a lot more often. You know, you see it a lot more. It comes
and
out.
It's not only is it spontaneous, but it is, and not only is it unexpected. When I say unexpected, it is stunning to see what kinds of flowers, shall you say, mm-hmm. New species, if you want to call it, of ideas show up. And one of the ones that I'm thinking in particular, because it's my favorite, are Apple Computer. I mean, when those guys first put it together, they were doing it for themselves.
Right.
I mean, Steve Wozniak said, you know, wouldn't it be neat? I mean, he just, and his passion was to make it elegant. His passion was to see, I'd like to have a computer myself. Here's a chip that I know I can do. And I've, you know, got, and I put together 100 chips on this thing to make this thing work. And wouldn't it be just fun to see if I could cut it down to 30 chips or 40 chips or whatever it is. And he did, and he worked on it, worked and worked on it. And when they even finally got an order for like 50 of them or something along those lines, they figured, if worse, in their wildest imagination, maybe we'll sell 1,000. You know, buy our van back, and we'll go to Hippieville and have a good time. No, they had to sell their van in order to start the company. And he sold his HP 35 calculator and their van to start the company. I mean, they started the company with like $1,000 or $1,500.
The shag wagon.
Yeah, it's Jimmy Don't Show.
Hey, it's Rich from the pawn shop.
Hey, Rich.
How's it going? Hey, guys, listen, I had a long day, but I wanted to go ahead and call in real quick.
Okay.
Last time I called in, about a week ago, we talked about the public school system, and, you know, and I said I was going to write a letter to the governor an interest-free student loan program with mandatory public service at 18.
Yeah, that was great. So where'd you get with it?
Well, they wrote the letter came out in the October 9th Gainesville Sun. Here's a better way to fund public schools. And the governor went and had his chief economist for the Office of Policy and Budget get back with me. And to make a long story short, he says, "Your very interesting idea would basically move the funding of education from a tax-based funding or an ability to pay principle of taxation to a user-based model or a benefit-received principle of taxation.
Woo-hoo!
While such a system has not been tried, it is likely to be challenged to violate the state's constitutional mandate to provide public education." But, you know, but what isn't challenged? But what I want to let you know, so they printed the letter, and you got all these people writing in.
That's excellent. We're definitely going to put a link to that.
But nobody, they're not touching with the 10-foot pole this public service thing. So I think we've kind of shut them up with the public service thing. So, you know, hopefully there'll be some more dialogue. But, you know, in the letter section of the Gainesville Sun, you know, people have been writing back in. So I just wanted to give you an update on that. And So, you know, next time I call in, I'll have some other answers. But I just wanted to call in and touch base and let you know what's going on. And I got a poker game to get into right now. So I'll talk to you guys next time, all right?
Thank you so much, Rich. Richard.
All right, okay, God bless America.
Absolutely. Right.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Excellent. A great local business owner.
Yeah.
Activist.
Yeah. Well, he's actually run for office once.
Yeah.
Or a couple times. He said he was thinking about running for mayor again, you know, whatever.
He's
a little... He's an interesting fellow. Yes, okay.
Well, as we all are.
As we all are, that's
fits
right.
Fits in really good
he
in this
in,
crowd.
Fits in well in this
we
crowd.
We appreciate those calls.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we do. Is there anything in particular? Are we off track here? Or
no, we're still on the bailout. I just feel there's a couple more things.
We got about 8 minutes left to talk about it.
A few more minutes. Let's take a break, and then we can...
There's a couple more things.
Wait. Just keep going. Counselor Curtis, I want to hear what you...
There's another thing you touched on, which was... You said that we did not need people to run the world, John Stossel had said.
Right.
I think it goes further than that. I think we need them to not run the world. That is to say, we need them to not meddle and get all involved in this. And it's starting to get a little bit scary, and I'll tell you why. It's starting to get a little bit scary because they seem very willing to throw another $350 billion here, another $150 billion there. And the reason why... That is such a bad thing, in my opinion, is because it creates so many winners and losers in the market.
And they get to choose the winners.
They choose the winners.
And no politics there.
Oh, but the big thing about that is that the rest of the market cannot anticipate what they're going to do.
Right.
And so it creates this giant instability.
Right, the uncertainty factor.
The uncertainty factor is the only real death knell to the market.
Right.
And that is... The more they meddle, the more they could potentially prolong this. I mean, this quote, crisis, unquote, it actually can be a crisis if they make it into one.
Trying to fix it, more
right,
or less.
By trying to fix it
and what
continually.
They're trying to, well, what, and they say this, actually, I've got about 9 articles here, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but they had the G7. The one I really want to get into a little bit is from the Australian Prime Minister, who's a little panicky about the, he calls it the failure of extreme capitalism, but which he doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. But the main thing that you look at here are these people that look at the fact that they can fix this stuff when they don't have any faith in the stuff that has brought them all the wealth and all the important things in their life so far, and they take it for granted.
Well, you know, it seems to me like what they're doing is like this. They're saying something like, hey, if you have a certain amount of capital, you can create a successful business, and then you have left over. And so these people are thinking, well, I'm going to be in government. I'm going to take this huge amount of wealth that the government has. I'm going to invest it correctly, quote unquote, and it's going to produce this great wealth and this surplus, which we're going to use to correct all the ills of the world. And what they don't see is that that's basically betting on a business, which people do every day. Every person who starts a business bets that they're gonna make something. They're gonna make some money. But a lot of people are wrong about it. And if it happens in the free market, it just self-corrects. But if it happens in the government, we go down hard.
Right. You brought up a very valid item that people don't understand, and that has to do with risk reward ratios. And what people are complaining about in this bailout is that they said, well, the capitalists, the people on Wall Street, are getting all the rewards, and then they're foisting the losses off on the taxpayer. Well, they didn't do that. It's not them. It was the government policies that did that. But the thing about the government, of course, is what if you're wrong? What if you make a mistake? What if you screwed up? What if your winner is not a winner? And, of course, invariably, it turns out, at least locally here, I've noticed, they have a nasty habit of picking up the losers. And, interestingly enough, one of the quotes that I heard was that the bailout was designed to take the toxic, literally, quote, the toxic investments off the bank rolls.
Right.
Wait a minute. Wait. I'm a taxpayer. You're asking me. You didn't ask me. You want me to go to the bank, okay? And you say, oh, here are all your toxic investments, and here's your good ones over here, by the way. And you can buy the bad ones. You can buy the toxic ones. You can buy the poison, you know. But you can't buy the good ones. The ones that are going to pay off. No. Let the bank keep those. But you're going to let you, Mr. Taxpayer, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer, buy the toxic ones. I'm thinking, I wouldn't do that.
Well, it's because they're...
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I'll let the bank keep the toxic ones. I want the good ones. Right. You know, and let me tell you something. And well, here's the deal. Because typically what happens, this is what Warren Buffett did. When he went into save GE, but he went into do some stuff with GE. What did he get? He got preferred stock at 10%. Man, he didn't take their crap off the book. He took the gold. He took the creme de la creme. And this is what you do is when somebody's hurting, when you go in, let's think of it. Here's a guy. He's been foreclosed on. His farm is going down, and the auctioneer is there. And what's the stuff that's going to bring the money? It's the brand new tractor that the guy has. I'm not paying any money for his beat up old rusty piece of lawnmower that's 14 years old. I mean, bullshit. I want the good stuff. I want the creme de la creme, the creme de la crop. So that's what I want.
Greedy capitalist.
We're going to have to wrap it up here, don't we?
Well, we'll take a little break here. Yeah. We'll be back in just a little bit.
What are we looking at?
I love it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just fine. I just was going to say that, again, when you try to start a business these days, the amount of red tape you got to jump through hoops, and I mean, it's absolutely...
And they say, because what they say down here locally, mm-hmm. is they say, well, we're friendly to business.
Yeah.
And they don't, what they don't understand is what's not seen.
Right.
And you only have to watch our Channel 12 here to watch these guys that are the boards.
That are going to help you with your business.
Oh, and man, I'll tell you, literally, if you look at their body English,
mm-hmm.
and you're thinking, no. I'm sorry.
No,
I mean, they are frowning. They're scowling. They're not, no eye contact.
No.
Their first answer. And as you say, of course, in government, one of the things you realize is nobody ever gets fired for saying no. You never get any trouble for saying no.
Nope.
It's where you get in trouble is if you actually say yes.
All right.
All right. Short break.
Jimmy Dolan.
Depending on your iPod.
You've done, but nothing seemed to change. The bad times stay the same, and I.